Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 6th of September, 2021. I'm joined by Leo.
Hello.
And today we're going to be going through the woke NHS tax, which is being passed through. Yeah. Also, Hillary mental hating Britain and says she's moving to Ireland. Proud European, deports herself, but okay.
Yeah.
And also the trans riot police, because apparently the police are now so inclusive that they're going to paint trans rights on their batons and shields as for tolerance and inclusion, as they beat you. Anyway, some of the things to mention first on the website that we have out. So the first thing being the safe, legal, and rare video that Carl did. So this is the Texas law that was passed about, abortions after 6 weeks has been made criminal in Texas. Yeah. And the argument being, well, the compromise was always safe, legal, and rare. And I do mean rare. You know, that's the Hillary Clinton quote. Well, if that compromise is being abandoned, the rare part specifically by the left, why is anyone surprised that the Republicans are going to abandon the legal part and just be like, right, okay, we're just not going to do this then.
Right.
So that's Carl's argument for that. So go and check that out. Also, the next thing is contemplations went up over the weekend. So the border debate. So this is Hugo and Josh talking about borders. And the next thing being epochs. So this is the history stuff that Bo and Carl did about Germania. I think it's Carl did this one. I'm not too sure, actually. About the different cultural aspects of the Germans under the Roman era and like what actually were they? Like, what do they have in common?
You know, look like the people at the start of Gladiator.
Yeah.
Fighting Russell Crowe. The Germanic tribes.
The absolute
Visigoths. Are they Visigoths? Yeah.
I don't actually know my ancient history that well, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, some of the stories from back then, like the Vercingetorix. I mean, he was a Gaul. But he it was one of Julius Caesar's early campaign victories.
Is that the one at Alesia?
I can't remember. Maybe it is. They basically laid siege to this town, and the Gauls sent out their elderly, their women, their children to sort of, you know, sometimes when towns were laid siege to, they'd let the sort of infirm people and the weak people just pass through the siege. But the Romans turned them back, so
they're stuck in the no man's land.
Yeah, so the Gauls had to stand and watch their children and their wives starving to death and eating grass in desperation. It's, you can't imagine what life was like back then, unless you go on Twitter and then you can see the medieval, the witch hunts and
reenacting today.
Yeah.
So this one's about the Germans. Apparently, the Germans were even more barbaric than the Gauls.
Right.
So. God knows, but anyway, go and check that out. That's premium, so go and sign up to get access to that. And also the last thing is at 5 p.m. today, the premium podcast that was very much delayed because of reasons on Bigfoot. So this is Carl's argument about, is Bigfoot actually plausible? Are the arguments against it as sensible as they sound? And what are they? So go and watch that.
And that's not a photo of Bigfoot, I take it.
No, I don't think there's one yet. That's right. Credible, but never know. Could just be a big ape. Anyway, let's get right into it. So, first story, the woke NHS tax. I'm really angry about this, I must be honest.
Yeah.
I'm really upset. Anyway. So, the woke NHS tax is something I'm describing, which is the recent increase in national insurance. So, this is the first link here. Breaking, Boris Johnson, Rishi Sunak, and Savage Javid have agreed to raise national insurance by 1.25%. Hmm. Yeah. So, this is a payroll tax in the UK, for foreigners who don't know. So, on your wages, and also for the employer has to pay this as well. So in reality, it's like 2% or whatever, because you pay 1%, they pay 1% as well.
And self-employed people have to pay it as well.
Yes. Mm. So taxes on wages, fantastic. This is also, as John's pointing out here, a guarantee from the Conservative Party that they would not do this in their manifesto. So this is a manifesto breach as well.
Was that before COVID?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, in the dark times before.
Yeah.
You know, the long gone times. Anyway, so the reasoning for this, apparently, is to fund the NHS. So if we go to the next one here. This is the story. Boris Johnson is expected to announce an extra $5.5 billion this year for the NHS.
Are they expecting another pandemic? Why do they need more money? Surely they need less money this year.
You'd think. I think, so I looked this up. The NHS has, the way they display their funding, is like a bar graph that slowly goes up over time, because it always does.
Yep.
And then they have an extra like emergency fund, which is the COVID funding on top. So that's funded elsewhere. But their normal funding is funded by general taxation and national insurance put together.
Yeah.
And then charging foreigners who occasionally use it when they can charge them.
Yeah.
So the extra $5 billion is to fund the NHS going forwards, because apparently we need it, just definitely need it. I'm not sure I trust them that they need this money.
You don't trust the government?
No, I think they could find some cuts elsewhere within the NHS specifically.
Well, I've seen some of the adverts that are being the job roles that are being advertised for diversity and inclusion officers. Which, I mean, why would you need a diversity and inclusion officer in the NHS? Are you not going to treat someone because they're white? Are we going to apportion out medical care according to people's sexual preferences? I don't want to give them ideas.
They actually did almost do that, which is really? they announced, I think it was like a year or two ago, that they wouldn't treat people who they deemed to be racist. It was like, you're the government healthcare service for everyone in the UK.
How do you medically prove racism?
Like, you're a racist. You're going to die, son. Like, we're just not going to treat you.
Right.
Enjoy your gallbladder or whatever. But anyway,
jeez.
So on a note of the diversity officers, as you're mentioning, what have they been up to? Well, here we have a parody account to Tina McGrath enjoying a new post. This is a blog post from the NHS. Dear white people in the UK, I'm thinking about those cuts. I'm thinking about that money I'm being taxed to pay for this sort of thing immediately. But anyway, Tina McGrath says, even under the pressure of a global pandemic with waiting lists an all-time high, it's a relief to see that the NHS is devoting time and resources to the important work of dismantling whiteness. Clap, clap. Fist bump. Because, of course, this is what the NHS is up to with all those diversity positions.
Oh, yeah, and this is classic critical race theory, because they've got you in a complete MMA hold. Like, if you get upset at being called a racist, that means you're a racist. Mm. If you don't, you know, if you accept that you're being called a racist, you're also a racist. There's no way out. And yeah, look at it. Don't be defensive. This isn't personal, and it's not about you. I mean, well, it kind of is if you're calling me a racist. Everybody is...
Well, don't worry. They're just calling you a white supremacist and part of whiteness. So yeah, that's totally not a racist, they swear. The State Health Service, they're the ones telling the public about this. Anyway, let's go to the full blog post, because this is real and still up, and you can go and read it in your own time. Let's go through some of it. So it's by Asin Benjamin, Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Lead at Nursing and Midwifery Council. So this is a NHS employee who is employed to be in charge of equality, diversity and inclusion for midwifery.
Man, and the thing is, I know whenever I see whatever industry it is, whatever part of the public sector it is, if I see an equality, diversity and inclusion representative or lead, they're only looking at a certain type of inclusion and representation. There's never been an equality, diversity and inclusion lead who's made sure that there's enough Brexit voters represented on a panel. There's still certain sections of society that are sneered at and looked down on. And I don't think the equality, diversity and inclusion people are really doing anything to help those people or get them representation.
They're not part of the inclusion.
No.
They're part of the exclusion.
They're the wrong type of inclusion.
Yeah. So they're saying here, first step, read the short essay White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack by Peggy McIntosh, that visualizes a physical representation of privilege. So this is the initial essay that coined the term white privilege into the public consciousness, or let's say the diversity industry's consciousness.
All these essays and books, like this way I think...
You mentioned critical race theory. I mean, she's one of them.
Yeah. Well, she's one of the sort of key people. Robin DiAngelo is, and she's white, of course.
Yes.
So she's, you know, a white person making money off other white people's white guilt. So, I mean, what could be a more exemplary example of whiteness than that?
I also wanted to mention that there's the Kemi Badenoch, who's the Undersecretary for Equalities in this country, the based one. She went in Parliament and said that if you teach these sort of things in schools as a teacher in a public school, you will be fired and you will be prosecuted because you're not allowed to do that sort of thing. You can't come to the school and teach Nazism, for example, because it's a highly contentious political issue, blah, 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 whatever terms you have to use. It's not education.
Yeah.
No, this is indoctrination.
Yeah.
And if Kemi Badenoch can say that about public-run schooling, I have to wonder about public-run healthcare.
Yeah.
Should it be the role of nurses to educate you, indoctrinate you, about their critical race theory nonsense? And you mentioned Robin DiAngelo, so they continue. Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility, Why It's Hard for White People to Talk About Racism, written by a white woman in the USA, captures a discussion that is often missing about where is whiteness for white people who often don't see themselves in racial terms. I mean, you mentioned it's the circular argument of, here, I'm going to complain about white fragility. And if you think that, if you get mad at me calling you a racist, that's white fragility, therefore, point proven.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely right.
Yeah, it's like 3D chess. They've got you in every direction. But I think woke people are the most racist people. I remember when Black Lives Matter happened, all my woke friends on Instagram were posting, you know, oh, here's 58 books I've bought on how to not be a racist. I don't know, I think most people can not be a racist by just not being a racist.
Yeah,
if you have to read 58 books to not be a racist, you've got to be open to the possibility you might be a bit racist.
But also, no one like the idea of like, I'm so not a racist, I spend 15 hours a day reading racial texts.
Yeah.
Rightio. But also the point there about she makes that
it's like closeted gays in the 60s or whatever who'd be like, you know, obsessed with it.
I'm so masculine, I swear. You're just gay, just come out. Anyway, so the point here being made as well, it's from the perspective of a white person for a country of white people who often don't see themselves in racial terms. You know, Martin Luther King's dream. The fact that you would see yourself not in racial terms, but on a character basis.
Yeah.
That's the complaint. Thank you. Thanks for admitting
it. People are even unpicking what Martin Luther King said, and, you know, his incredibly powerful message, you know, I have a dream, you know, that was based, you know, rooted in classic liberal individualism. And people are unpicking that and saying, oh, no, he didn't mean that, and this is what he really meant. And the message was so powerful because it was rooted in individualism. And I think we can all, you know, that resonates with most people. We see ourselves as individuals. We don't want to judge or categorize or put people in boxes based on their, you know, their whatever demographics or sexuality or gender or whatever. But wokeists, that's exactly what they want to do. They want to put people in boxes and classify them and divide them according to those characteristics.
Like the collectivist left have no truck with individualism. So, of course, they hate Martin Luther King. Just going to skip over some of those points there that they raised for the sake of time. But the last one is the one that is most notable. Points for white people, be uncomfortable. Point number 5, full stop. Just be uncomfortable, whitey.
Why?
Okay.
I don't want to be uncomfortable. I spend a lot of money trying to make myself comfortable through, you know, chairs. Alcohol. You know, why would I want to be... Nobody wants to be uncomfortable.
I love how we're paying for this as well.
Yeah.
We're paying for this stupid woman.
Through your tax rise.
Mm. And we're going to have a tax rise specially to pay for this. Because we can't just cut some of the stuff from the NHS. Of course not. That would be austerity. Even if we just cut the diversity budget for the NHS instead to zero. Anyway, so carrying on. So she says, for everyone, there are some quick reads that summarize for a UK audience how a poor understanding of history of race and what racism is. And then she lists some books, you know, blah, 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 and then lists the bookstore. Go and check out these books that I'm totally not being paid to promote, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then she goes on for some more suggestions. She says you should go on a Black History walk or tour. Weird, okay. Also, in the UK, we have some established race equality think tanks, the Institute for Race Relations, the Runnymede Trust, and the Race Equality Foundation, some openly leftist race trusts that don't, as you said, see things through an individualist lens, entirely through a collectivist lens. That's why they had such a problem with the race report when it came out from the UK government.
Yeah, of course. And it's in their interest to exacerbate any racial issues in the UK, because the more there's social division and racial division, the more that they can make a fuss and get on TV and get funding for their work, the more they can say that their work's necessary. So I think this is a lot of the woke critical race theory is a self-perpetuating industry.
They're never going to tell you we've reached diversity.
Yeah.
Fire me. I'm done. I'm out. Anyway, so they continue educating our children we need to educate our children. Black history is British history. And I agree.
Yeah, nobody ever said it wasn't.
And that's the thing. That's why the question about a Black History walk or tour is like, look, if Black history is British history, why do you need to segregate the history classes along the lines of race?
Yeah.
You don't need to, do you?
And it's just encouraging, it's giving succor to any racists who might want to, you know, just focus on white history. Mm. If you make it okay to just focus on Black history, then it's legitimizing white supremacists.
Why can't you?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. I think these people actually are, when they have a guilty conscience. So she also mentions that there's a Black curriculum organization that is going to teach people about Black history and totally isn't going to be run by weird racial activists, I'm sure. She also has a call to action. Use your power and your privilege for the benefit of humanity. Everyone has some level of power or privilege at home, socially, or at work. Break the foundations of structural racism. Like, I'm just hearing someone just screeching. You know, I remember there was a clip from the Lipai conference. It was the last speech, and this tubby kid, like quite tubby kid, went up there, and you could see he's like 20 or something. Mm. And he grabbed the lectern and he screamed into the conference, workers of the world unite, you have nothing to lose but your chains. And it's like, you haven't worked a day in your life. It's like the change of structural racism. He also did a salute, which he then quickly turned into a fist when he realized. Let's not talk about that.
It's like all the Corbynistas who are like, oh yeah, we need to open the coal mines again. Thatcher closed the coal mines. We need to open them. It's like they're going to be queuing up to work and like go down the pit with their latte. Yeah. And their MacBook Airs.
Go down there and breathe in the coal dust.
Yeah. Anyway,
so we go to the next one here, just on the mention of some smart shilling here. So the white fragility book they mentioned from Robert DiAngelo. Carl went to the German parliament and gave a speech as a guide for white fragility to understand what they're even talking about, because a lot of it has to be understood within their own paradigm. So just explaining that there. So go and give that a watch if you signed up. Good stuff. Anyway, yeah, I mentioned this was featured on GB News. So Andrew Doyle making the point about, like, you know, Robert DiAngelo's full of S, because her argument is, if you're upset about what I'm writing, you were racist, therefore point proven.
Yeah.
Totally right. There's also Chris Rose, who responded by saying that, imagine writing this about black people. Yeah. Mm. Dear black people of the UK, be uncomfortable. We're coming for you, the NHS. want to fund that more. But this lady, this isn't a one-off. So we go to the next one. She wrote another thing here, dear white people in the UK, an update for 2021, in which she whined about BLM, because what else is she going to do? And then tagging the Daily Mail and NHS leadership. You go to the next one. There's more from her. No evidence of structural racism in medicine. A full critique of the Saul race report by the BMA. Mentioned before, they're upset with the race report because it didn't find any racial discrimination in British society.
Yeah.
So they all freaked out about this whole thing.
Nightmare for them. That's the gravy train over if you know, word actually gets out.
Yeah. The British Medical Association as well, being a trade union. So not really anything official. But I don't want to take their word for this at all. I think they are deeply tied with the Labour Party, and therefore the leftist narrative on race, that there totally is structural racism on a collectivist basis, and the way to solve it is structural racism on a collectivist basis. Anyway, so she also wrote about BAME, so the term BAME, to BAME or not to BAME. I mean, again, just, you know, stunning work, totally earning her salary here. I'm glad I'm paying for this. Just someone to sit around and talk about, oh, what kind of word should be used to describe people with brown skin? You could just say people brown skin if you want. No one gives a toss.
Well, and the word's going to change. You know, it changes every few months. It's impossible to keep on top of. This is why wokeism is like a new caste system, because it's only the people with the resources and the time to read The Guardian every day and keep on top of what the new terminology is. Because, yeah, you know, BAME will become problematic, and then it'll be replaced with it's already happened.
Yeah.
See, there you go. It's because I don't have the resources to keep on top of these terms.
The Guardian started using yukmugamur.
What?
Which is totally more humanizing than
that. Sounds like a Finnish welcome.
Yeah. What was it? Like, it was global minority heritage, minorities of ethnic origin.
God.
It was horrible.
Oh.
The term they used. Anyway, so they go to the next one.
Oh, God.
I mean, this is Kelvin making the point. Ever wondered what your £75,000 worth of taxpayer money gets you? So this is a bunch of, as you mentioned, the job applications. We can click on this image of heads of diversity and inclusion. Can you click on this image, John, to get it up? So you can see a whole bunch there. I think this was about £200,000 total, just wasted on this one screenshot here for these positions. Well, that's what it gets you. It gets ladies like her telling you about to be uncomfortable because you're white, or to BAME or not to BAME, or updates on George Floyd because the NHS, and really needs to talk about that.
Phil, my ex-girlfriend's going for, she's mixed race, and she's going for equality, diversity and inclusion roles at the moment, because they're so well paid.
Yeah.
They're so well paid.
Like, we used to laugh at the people getting gender studies degree, and now I'm like, oh, crap. They pay more than
they
me.
Ended up running. But I mean, it is a racket. I mean, I used to work in the public sector. I worked for various councils like Camden Council, Westminster, Haringey, all in London. And all these things. It's not just the diversity and inclusion people, but, you know, the HR departments are expanding the amount of power. And, you know, the HR department should really just be processing payroll. They shouldn't be doing anything more than that. And now they've got so much power, and they're expanding and sucking in all these resources and being completely unproductive. I know the public sector isn't famed for its productivity, but really the public sector needs to be trimmed down to just focus on actual practical, substantial work.
Well, like, I mean, we're being taxed to pay for this. That's the thing.
Yeah.
There is a tax increase coming in right now in the UK because we need to pay for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Can't possibly just make some cuts, could we?
Yeah, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. Every council's got policy departments who are writing policy on everything from, you know, fly tipping to planning permission. And why does Camden need separate policy to, you know, Haringey? Their boroughs that are so close to each other.
And advise them on bathrooms and all the rest of it.
We
have loads more, so we have to get through it. So the next one, if we can get it up, is Calvin finding yet another one. He mentions it's a racket. Here's another one. And it's some diversity officer saying, absolutely horrible to see the abuse and hostility directed towards someone I worked with in their day for 3 years. And solidarity at the end of that drivel about how it's so horrible that she's being pointed out that she's wasting taxpayers' money with her job.
pointed out by Emma, she, her.
Yeah.
Just in case there's any doubt as to what gender Emma.
Well, the way she describes herself, Regulatory Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Manager for Nursing and Midwifery Council. So it's not just one. They got two. It just at this Council for Midwifery.
That's midwifery as well.
same thing. She's literally just her colleague.
So as the baby comes out, she's literally checking it against a colour chart to see if it's infected with the inherent evil of whiteness.
You know that meme of like the one guy who's got the pickaxe, who's digging up the road, and then 10 guys around him who are all like different filling departments who are doing nothing?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, man, due to budget cuts, we're going to have to fire the guy with the pickaxe. I mean, that's what's going on here. We can't raise the wages of the nurses. Why? Because we've got too many diversity and inclusion officers hanging around. But if we go on to the next one here, the initial lady has said that she's going to report the abuse she's getting to the police, thanks to Kelvin. She personally DM'd Kelvin to call him a bad man for doing this. And I was like, I don't care. Go to hell. Like, you're getting paid so much money, I'm sure you can dry your eyes with the notes you have. But if we go to
this is another thing. People seem to assign responsibility for abuse that they receive to people other than the people who sent the abuse. It's like, if she's received abuse, it's not Calvin's fault. Calvin's just, you know, pointing out, you know, some that any sort of journalist or broadcaster, you know,
she's like,
should be pointing
white people
out.
Be uncomfortable. Calvin says that exists. This is Calvin's fault for people being upset about it. So it's got nothing to do with what she wrote.
Yeah.
Of course. But if we go to the next one here, I just Googled how many trusts there are in the UK of NHS trusts. Apparently there's 223. Mm. And you got to think, you've got to times that by the 75K for each just head of diversity.
Yeah.
Never mind apparently the second one you've got to have just in case it's a rainy day, and all the other underling staff and the entire program and all the rest of it. Yeah. If you just calculate that, it's £16 million just in heads of diversity and inclusion for each trust in the UK.
16 million or billion?
16 mil.
Right. Oh, for diversity and inclusion.
Just for the heads, though.
Right, yeah. Oh, so, really?
Just for the heads.
Just for the heads.
Not to mention any of the other staff.
So they'll have departments underneath them. You know.
All the department funding, which gets spent on, I don't know, painting rainbows across the floors of the hospital or something. But that's 60 mil right there. You could cut conservatives instead of raising the taxes of the public.
Yep.
But no, how dare we actually do something conservative and try and save the country. So it could be worse, as mentioned. If we go to the next one, you can see the BBC. I don't know if you remember this. June Sarprong. Yep. £267,000 a year for a 3-day work week.
Oh, man. How do I get on this gravy train? This is just insane. Is there still time for me to back out and renounce my right-wingness and my whiteness and become some sort of diversity rep?
I don't think you'll get anywhere near what she's earning, though. She's on a next level of grift, because you can see here the annual salary is, if she was working full-time, £445,000, which is more than the Director General of the BBC.
Yeah.
The head of diversity and inclusion is paid more than the guy in charge of the whole organization.
And that's public money.
Yeah.
I know it's not a direct tax, but no, I mean the license fee basically is a tax.
When police stop knocking on people's doors for them not paying it, I'll stop calling it a tax then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in fairness to them, they haven't knocked on my door in about 15 years. So.
What did you just tell them? Anyway, so if we go to the next one here, I've just seen some of this, because this is the thing. This is why I like being on Twitter. I know a lot of people hate Twitter and think you should get off it. And I agree, generally. But it is a fantastic research tool for leftism, because it's a leftist space, so they literally post everything on there.
Yeah.
Like, on their Twitter account, they will post everything about themselves, their political opinions, where they work, all the rest of it. And this is a great example of just the different accounts I found.
Well, yeah, and this is the Achilles heel of the left. This, as we saw with that, I don't know if you saw the teacher in, I think it was California, who it was covertly recorded, but he just told a reporter, you know, everything that he was doing to indoctrinate the children in the schools, and he had the Antifa flag and the poster of Chairman Mao. A poster of Chairman Mao, who killed, like, what, 30 million, 40 million?
45 million is a conservative estimate.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you might as well have, you know, Hitler or Stalin or someone. It's horrific. Well, I'm surprised he didn't have Stalin.
I'm surprised he didn't have Hitler, to be honest. Anyway, but this is some guy who's excited to announce that he'll be joining the NHS as the head of diversity, equality and inclusion on the 13th of September. So that's £75,000 down the drain, because if you can click on the second image here, you can see him talking about who wants to become an anti-racist. What do you have to do? 21-day challenge. What do you do on those 21 days? Read my propaganda. So it's just the typical stock nonsense, anti-racist baby, you know, some Netflix series on white privilege. Dear white people, this is what we want you to do. Endless stuff.
Anti-racist baby.
Yeah. It's, I don't know if you've seen it. It's a book you meant to give the kids to indoctrinate them as well.
Oh my God.
Incredible. So we got the next one. There's another diversity hire. I'm going to call them diversity hires because that's what they are. Another 75k donation to leftism from here. So this is a new guy who started.
Yeah.
Retweets Keir Starmer and Labour MPs, I found out, just from checking his account. I'm glad the Conservatives are funding this because they are funding this. I mean, it makes sense that Tony Blair was the one who set all this up and started funding his own boys.
Yeah.
And because, you know, governments are corrupt. Why are the Conservatives funding the opposition? Each one of these people would have to go and find a normal job.
Yeah.
And instead, they're getting paid over the odds.
Well, they could be just doing something, you know, useful for society. They could be, I don't know, stacking shelves at Asda instead of...
I don't care if it's not useful to society, as long as it's not my money.
As long as it's not actively destructive to society, which is what most equality, diversity, and inclusion stuff seems to be.
But yeah, I think it can't be that bad. It can't be that many of these. Let's go through some. So let's go to the next one. So this is an account. I'm just going to read the descriptions, how they describe themselves. Head of Diversity and Inclusion at Samaritans, ex-NHS Health England, National Trust, She, Her, Scouser, Own Views, BLM, Pride Flag Ally, Mum. Okay.
Do you think there's going to be one that doesn't have their pronouns listed?
Oh, let's have a game. Let's go to the next one. Director of Equality and Inclusion for NHS England and Improvement, also independent chair of Dorset Integrated Care System. My pronouns are she, her.
Thanks for telling us that your pronouns are she, her, Jenny.
Never would have guessed otherwise with that manly expression. Anyway, let's go to the next one. So, Head of Support and Transformation, Equality and Inclusion, NHS England and Improvement. I mean, again, I just...
No pronouns!
No pronouns.
Oh my God!
Letting the side down.
It has to be fired, surely.
Yeah.
But it's illegal.
Again, I mean, just all I had to do was Google diversity and inclusion, and we'll find these people goddamn endlessly. Let's go to the next one. Equality, Diversity, and Inclusion Lead at Cambridge University Hospitals, NHS. Cisgender female, she, her, feminist mother. At least we got the pronouns again. Next one, if we get the next one up, Director, NHS Race and Health Observatory. Oh, boy. No pronouns on this one, so... Huh.
Race and Health Observatory. Is that like, has it got a big telescope that you can point at the population and see examples of racism?
What are the genitals? What is the melanin? Yeah. So we go to the next one. I'm pretty sure this is a joke account, but I can't really tell because it's got that difficult.
This is a joke account.
This is a joke account. Yeah, all right, good. Because they say that their job is to try and follow every diversity officer in the NHS.
Yeah.
So far, they've got 884. 884 diversity officers.
Yeah.
I love how they're also followed by BAME Labour and Jess Phillips. That's amazing. They actually fell for it, didn't they?
This is the thing, the woke never, like, it's so hard for them to tell when they're being mocked, when they're being satirised, because they're self-satirising at this point.
Yeah, so you can see Pride Flag, Transgender Flag, Black Heart, Brown NHS Manager, Ally, Her, She, Racist Views from My Side of the Concrete Ceiling, and on to Keep Job, Hashtag BLM, hashtag BAME over, hashtag NHS racism, hashtag snowy white peaks, followed by BAME labor. That's amazing. I didn't notice that. Oh, boy. Yeah, but I suppose we should be glad at least that all of these people who are sucking up all of our money is not as bad as some of the public sector ones. So we go to the next one. We have Google Boots, head of diversity and inclusion, who said Jews have an insatiable appetite for war and killing.
Jeez. Unlucky, he was in a rush getting ready, so he's only put his jump. He's gone halfway through putting his jumper on.
I suppose he's going out to do jihad after this or something. Just, you know, the what is it, the El Jihadi look or whatever it is.
Well, this is what he's repeating here is it's a trope. It's a sort of myth about Israel. Israel's seen as this incredible aggressor in the Middle East, and if you actually look at the history of Israel, I don't have a dog in the fight. You know, I'm not pro. I dated an Egyptian who's quite, you know, anti Israel. I'm not, like, you know, particularly pro Israel. I mean, I think it's a beacon of democracy and freedom in the Middle East, and, you know, it should be allowed, definitely allowed to exist. Which probably makes me an evil fascist in the eyes of most left-wing people.
I don't have much time left, so I didn't want to get into a huge thing about Israel.
All right, yeah, well, I was just going to say, I mean, if you look at the, you know, the Six-Day War, no, like, most leftists are completely unaware of you know, all the countries round about Israel trying to wipe it off the map and then getting spanked by the Israeli army, you know, against all odds. And yeah, they think, you know, they think Israel just started everything.
Everything ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the public sector who has some views on the Jews. And well, we also have some other public sector ones. So we go to the next one. Amazon Studios executive head of diversity and equality and inclusion on the red carpet here, giving some speech about some movie. You don't usually get the HR people on the red carpet. You usually get the stars. of the movie.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, this is the thing. They are a priest class.
Yeah.
That is why she is of interest to these people, because she is the holy priest who gets paid way too much. And just to end on here as another example of why the NHS is awful in these regards and needs to be detoxified. It's not that the NHS is a bad institution, in my view, but it utterly needs to be detoxified. And that doesn't mean increasing taxes. It means cutting people. Mm. So if we look through this, so this is a gender identity clinic whistleblower. She won damages for vilification of herself. So they said in the article, a whistleblower who claimed she was vilified by an NHS gender identity clinic, Tavistock, after raising concerns about safety of children undergoing treatment, has been awarded £20,000 in damages.
Yeah. And it's a great result for her. I mean, I just thought it was this is quite an interesting story, because she said that the amount of gender transitions being done, you know, this is quite a new phenomenon. You know, giving gender transitions, giving hormones and puberty blockers to so many children,
through.
The speed at which it's come about, and also the lack of open and free debate around it, or free discussion, on a purely scientific and medical level. So she said, you know, it could be like the Jimmy Savile case, where nobody was allowed to discuss it at the BBC, so Savile was allowed to do horrific things, and you know, when it came out, it was too late,
and she was vilified for that, and now she's won her money because she was right.
We'll see in like 10-20 years time, with the suicide rates and the amount of people who want to detransition. But I think she could be right.
But ultimately, my point there, we're all going to get taxed. What for? Funding this kind of crap. And in return, we can also go screw ourselves, because the Conservatives can't be bothered to just detoxify the NHS.
Yeah.
Get on with it, for Christ's sake. I don't know what the point of them is anymore if they can't even do that.
That anyway. Screensaver is really disturbing me.
Probably one of the video comments. All right. Anyway, let's move on, because I overran.
Cool.
This is your segment on Hilary Mantel.
Yes, so Hilary Mantel is ashamed to be British now, and wants to become Irish to escape Brexit Britain. She thinks Britain, post Brexit, has become this hellhole of racism, and we're horrible to refugees. So she wants to escape to Ireland. Which is, your classic sort of privileged, rich, liberal response. It's like, oh, I've got the resources, I can just go live wherever I want.
Yeah, I'll move to Canada.
So I'm gonna denounce Britain and move to Canada, New Zealand. Funnily enough, one of the things she criticised Britain about was reducing its overseas aid from 0.7% of GDP to 0.5% of GDP, which is a huge. I mean, like. Britain gives a huge amount of money. There's very few countries. I think Germany is the only one that gives more. Canada gives 0.3%.
Yeah, but just also, like, global pandemic, we just spent billions. Oh my God, how could you do this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And also aid.
Cash.
Aid, I mean, it's not as good as allowing markets in the third world to sort of deal with the issues themselves. Quite often when aid goes in, so they'll there'll be disaster relief, and they'll bring food in, and then the local markets will collapse because they can't compete with people being given free food. So then when the aid agencies leave, the market's been devastated and can't recover, so it creates dependency on the sort of welfare state, which, I mean, it's something that we're seeing in the West as well. It's almost like the government has an agenda to make everybody dependent. So she's moving to Ireland. But one thing that's interesting is, so the NHS tax, this tax hike was announced, yesterday or 2 days ago? Hilary Mantel announces this now, and writers and artists don't pay tax in Ireland. So I wonder if that had anything. I mean, she could have moved to France. You know what I mean? Except that the tax rates in France are quite high, so she's moved to Ireland, where artists and writers don't pay any income tax.
Is J.K. Rowling based there?
No, I think she still lives in Scotland, but J.K. Rowling is probably generates more money than the entire Scottish oil industry.
Probably does, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it dipped well below a billion, didn't it? Was it last year?
Scotland's number one export is now J.K. Rowling books.
So, and funnily enough, Hilary Mantel got some grief from the left previously for defending J.K. Rowling, and she also complained that she'd been misgendered by a university who referred to her as they instead of she. But I mean, I think the university was probably, you know, playing safe and trying to be woke. I mean,
what's wrong with assuming they instead of she? Transphobe?
And yeah, she's previously, this isn't the first time she's had any controversy. She's won the Booker Prize twice, which I think she's the first woman to win it twice. I haven't read the books, Wolf Hall, and there's another one. They're all about Cromwell. I'm not sure which Cromwell. They're medieval.
Adds another aspect of the moving to Ireland there.
Yeah.
Sort of doing his dream there of you know, moving the English to Ireland, but
yeah. So yeah, so she's, you know, a really accomplished writer. But man, I swear to God, like the tax, the fact that she's not going to pay any income tax. I mean, she won't be unaware of that. So I think that's playing a big part of her decision to move to Ireland. But, you know, she's seen an opportunity to make this sanctimonious point about Brexit Britain, where we're actually all the people who are staying are going to be paying more tax. So she's making some, you know, big virtue signalling point and then swanning off to Ireland where she won't have to pay any tax. Hmm.
She going to move back at any point or just staying there forever? Or
I don't know. I mean, no idea. She's, I mean, quite a few people do move back, after moving away.
Because you always hear like that, you know, I'm going to move to Canada, and then they never do.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Before every election, people on both sides say, "If they win, I'm moving away."
Yeah, it's never moving to Mexico, is it?
No.
Always moving to Canada. Yeah,
or New Zealand. And then they comment on local politics. Like Sean Connery was commenting on Scottish independence and saying how, you know, we should have Scottish independence. But he was saying that from Marbella or Los Angeles or wherever he lived. I think it was Marbella.
Is that what you had to say on that?
What's that?
Is that what you had to say on that? Or?
On Hilary Mantel?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I mean, there's been
I didn't know if you were giving me a signal to end or not.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's been a few controversies. So we've got those up. So she's been critical of the Catholic Church. She's been critical of Kate Middleton as well, who I should probably refer to. Oh, that's another thing. So Hilary Mantel, she's been made a dame. I don't know what that means. I think that means she can move diagonally on a chessboard. I'm not entirely sure what all these titles mean. She could hand that back. Can't people hand back the... Although I don't like it when they accept it. They accept the title and then hand it back. Like Michael Sheen, you know, the Welsh actor. So he accepted an MBE or an OBE or something like that. And then he handed it back. So he got all the fun of accepting this honour. And he got to go to Buckingham Palace and meet the royals. And I bet there was a free bar. And so he had that, you know, fun day out. And then he has all the fun of making a big statement of, oh, I'm giving this back because Britain's terrible. It's like, don't accept it in the first place. Or if you do accept it, keep it. So
it wasn't so terrible when you were getting awards, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody loves getting awards. So yeah, Hilary Mantel, she accepted her damehood. She's been made a dame, whatever a dame is. I thought it was a man in drag in a pantomime.
But also, again, very underprivileged. Only a dame.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so underprivileged. I'm really suffering from Brexit. Really suffering. You know, it's really started to bite. I believe, you know, the price of avocados has gone up at Waitrose. So, yeah, it's going to be tougher. Actually, you know, working people seem to be doing quite well under Brexit. Not that I'm not a, you know, a Brexiteer or anything, but I think there's, you know, there's arguments on both sides, and certainly HGV drivers are doing much better. Their salaries have gone up.
Yeah, I saw some Facebook posts that some guys are getting as high as £3,000 a week now.
Jeez,
I don't know if that's confirmed, but some guy was being like, yeah, no, if I do agency work,
that's equivalent to like diversity and inclusion work.
Yeah, they're almost there.
Yeah. So yeah, and she said the coalition government is more brutal to the poor and immigrants than Thomas Cromwell was. I'm not sure if that's entirely true. I mean, like,
you said she's moving to Ireland, right? Like,
well, okay. I was reading about medieval public torture recently, just for fun. No, because I just think the parallels with how people hound each other on social media are quite interesting, and like some of the cases were so interesting. There was a guy who was He was sentenced to be publicly hanged or publicly impaled or something, and they commuted his sentence to being sent to North America. And it's like, that's not a punishment. I'd love, like, right now, I'd pay to go to North America. Lots of people do, you know what I mean? It'd be a dream, but back in those days, it was like, oh, well, we were going to impale you on a spike, but oh, even more, we're going to send you to North America on a boat. And he's like, oh, no. Now his ancestors or his descendants probably live in a massive ranch.
Yeah. Everyone here is living in a tiny house.
Yeah. And, Hilary Mantle described Kate Middleton, who's... What's Kate Middleton's title? Is she a princess or a...
I have no idea. Is she a princess? I think she's a princess.
She's got to be a princess. Yeah, she's married to... What's his face? Prince William. So Hilary Mantle described... Kate Middleton as a shop window mannequin. Obviously, this is taken slightly out of context. She was making a point about the media and how it treats it. But I mean, the royal family are basically a sort of media showpiece. They're the Kardashians with heritage. So I don't think it's unfair of her to say that, really.
All right. Duchess of Cambridge.
Duchess. She's a duchess.
Higher than a dame.
Is that, that's better than a dame, I take
surely.
It. Yeah, it's got to be. Duchess.
Anyways, should we move on to the trans riot police?
Yeah.
All right, I hope you're going to enjoy this. But I can't get over how this is still real and they still have the posts up, but whatever. So we're going to mention that the trans riot police, and I am being not literal there, the riot police themselves are not transgender, it seems. They're standing up for trans rights by beating back the transphobes.
But as riot police, I mean, who are they? Who are they going to be...
Well, the rioters like Posey Parker, I suppose.
Right.
So here's the first thing to lead into this. So we all know about the Pride police at this point. I don't know what they call them, but so this is Pink News reporting on the police being slammed for their plan to give LGBT plus folk confidence by putting rainbows on their cars. Yeah, that's totally what this is about. So the idea was that the police are going to dress themselves up like clowns, and this will give confidence to the LGBTQIA plus community to report hate speech online. Stunning. So if we go to the next one, this is how the police ended up looking. So this is the flare. I mean, I'm reminded of the Office Space meme. You know, you only have 13 pieces of flare. It doesn't show your personality. I mean, just look at the number of flags going on there. And this was the woman trying to defend that what they were doing totally mattered and totally wasn't just a waste of money. So if we go to the next one here, we have the trans riot police. This is the newest iteration. You can see Turning Point. This is how your taxpayers' money is spent. If we can scroll down to see this. You got a guy with a riot shield that says police with pride. And then it's the transgender flag on the riot shield.
And riot shields are, of course, weapons. I mean, I've been on... I used to be a criminal intelligence analyst, and I've been on ride-alongs with the police where they've... There's a guy with a knife who'd barricaded himself in a block of flats in Woolworth, in Woolwich, and they battered him to the ground with the riot shields, which, you know, at that time didn't have the trans pride flag on
but
them.
But now will, as they batter back Posey Parkers of the world to teach them their place.
Which I'm not sure that's a great message to be putting out. If you're getting punched in the face with a trans pride flag, that's not going to make
just be tolerant, you bigots. I'll hit you with the shield. So we go to the next one. You have the pride event itself, and you can see Leicestershire Police Special Ops. Apparently this is a real account, and you can see they're putting a whole bunch of pictures there, and then the trans riot shield flag in the... Sorry, trans riot shield. Yeah, trans riot field flag? Trans flag riot shield. There we are. Get those words right around. So if we go to the next one as well, we have a close-up on the shield. So we have... scroll down, you can see this image. So it wasn't just a one-off. It wasn't a trigger the lights. No, this is a real thing. And if we have the next one come up, it turns out this is older than I thought. So we get the next link. This is 2017? So... We will be live at Leicester Pride, hashtag new profile pic, hashtag 999 diversity, hashtag LGBT Melton at LGBT Police Lancashire, with 2017 a close-up of the Pride. So they've been keeping that around special occasions. So I'm guessing they only bring it out for LGBT parades or...
Photo opportunities.
But then you got to think, you know, when you actually start with a riot situation and you're running out of equipment to use, someone's going to pick that up and they're going to take it to the riot. And you're going to have these row of police officers, and there's one guy in the middle just being like, God damn it. So we go to the next one. Turns out this police force is worse than I thought. So there should be a link in there of the police with the furries, if you can get that up, John. So because it turns out in 2015, they actually decided to pose with furries as well.
Oh, my God.
You know what furries are, don't you?
Yes, I do know what furries are, and I'm pretty sure they're not a sort of protected characteristic. And they're just people who want to dress up as... fluffy animals. The most disturbing picture I ever saw of furries was a kid, like a toddler, petting a furry who obviously just thought it was a dog, but it wasn't. It was a guy in a dog suit like this
that he has sex in.
Yeah, yeah, because it's a sexualized thing. I mean, I think the whole sexualization.
I mean, that's why they're at Pride.
Yeah, man, and like, man, Pride. I think obviously, you know, it's great that people can come out and, you know, celebrate and show that they're visible and, you know, they're part of society and stuff. But this like modern insistence on dragging children to Pride. I think, you know, apart from it, if I was like dressed in leather shackles and things like that, and like, and expressing that
you,
side
you
of myself.
You want me to hit you with the riot shield to get back in the closet? Well,
I wouldn't. I wouldn't want kids there. You know what I mean? Yeah. They'd be cramping my fun. I'd feel like I'd have to put on some trousers.
Yeah, I mean, you would think the people in the fur costumes or leather straps around kids would feel a bit like a pedo and be like, maybe I should get changed. Yeah. No. So this is 2015. Leicester Police, Vance, thumbs up. I love that. This is their account. A big thumbs up for the police posing with furries on their LGBT bike as well, because of course they do.
And so, why can't they just go and solve some crime?
They got furries.
Have you been a victim of crime in the past couple of years?
Well, if it was a crime from the LGBT lot, then I also wouldn't get justice anyway, would I?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not talking about being misgendered.
No. I mean, you remember the LGB Alliance guy who went to the Pride parade and then they physically assaulted him for attending?
Right.
And then he had to go to the police and be like, yeah, I was physically assaulted by the LGBT guys. And you got to think, if he walks in the police station and he sees them in their clown uniforms, and he's like, am I going to get justice here?
Yeah.
It's like a black guy walking into a police station in the, like, I don't know, 1920s or something. They're all wearing clown hoods and like, maybe this is a waste of time. So let's move on from this. So if we go to the next one, if you can scroll down. I don't know if I put the telescopic truncheons in here. Oh, there we go. Yeah, so we get this first image up. This is my redesign to go along with that riot shield, because I'm sure they're looking for adaptations. Got to use the racial pride logo as well. The old pride flag is out. So we go to the next one. This is my artist rendition of how we can see our police force in the future.
That is, it does look like he's doing a sort of like, ooh.
Ooh, get back. Anyways, sorry. So Fair Cop, Harry Miller, has reported them for a hate crime for that shield.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
That's hilarious.
So we have reported Leicestershire Police under its own hate crime guidance for their stunt with the riot shield. So they say in here, an officer from a tactical support unit publicly displayed a tactical defensive weapon with colours of a political movement. Regardless of the context, I perceive this to be an aggressive, provocative act towards those who share my religious and philosophical political belief. Mm. In other words, I perceive hostility towards a monitored strand and wish to speak to an officer about my concerns. Fantastic, because they've done nothing wrong. Like, under the guidance, they're entirely within their right to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
A hate crime / incident to have taken place.
Yeah.
And the police have to take Harry Miller's complaint seriously.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And they should. I mean, like, putting LGBTQ propaganda on weapons is...
I mean, it's literally, you know,
That's got to be a hate crime.
You know the meme of, like, the bombs the Americans are going to drop are going to have rainbows and BLM fists?
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actually going to go out and be like, yes, for tolerance.
Yeah. Although it kind of makes sense in that situation, because, I mean, a lot of the people that they're going to be dropping bombs on do have, you know, problematic views on gay people.
ISIS have very specific views on homosexuality.
Yeah.
And if they get killed by a gay bomb, I don't think they're going to paradise, according to them. So probably for the best. So if we go to the next one here, so we have Harry Miller also making the point that there's a lady up in Scotland, as you mentioned before we started, about she's going to court for displaying a suffragette ribbon.
Yeah, Marion Miller.
And that's the thing. Harry Miller's complaint here that this is a hate incident.
Mm.
Well, if a ribbon is a hate crime,
yeah,
and you need to be taken to court for it, these officers displaying their Trans Lives Matters riot shields to the public, that's also a hate crime in England.
Yeah. I mean, just as a bit of context, so the ribbon, I don't think that's the actual picture of the ribbon that Marion Miller tweeted, but
the other one was much lower res.
Somebody perceived the ribbon to be a noose, or said it could be interpreted to be a noose, so that's a hate crime, because that's, you know, saying it like people should be hung or whatever. I don't know what
it made no sense.
I mean, it didn't look anything like a noose. It looked like a suffragette ribbon, because that's what it was.
But a trans riot shield certainly looks like a riot shield to me,
because it is a riot shield. And yeah, Marion Miller was arrested and charged, and you know, hugely stressful, and just state intimidation, basically saying to her,
she's a tough.
And anyway, yeah, she's a tough. She's a trans exclusionary radical feminist, or just a feminist, basically.
She believes women are women and men are men. And
and there should be segregated spaces in certain situations, but which goes against what the SNP. The agenda that the SNP are pushing. So basically the SNP are saying to Marion Miller and anyone with similar opinions, they're saying, we can get you, we can come after you, we can arrest you, we can charge you. Even if it gets thrown out of court and the court date keeps getting pushed back, it's the amount of stress.
Because there's the thing, like,
that she's going through. She's got two autistic kids.
I know, some poor woman who's done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to get tried with this. But there's the thing, if they actually go for it, and say that she's committed a hate crime because she had a noose-looking ribbon.
Yeah.
Okay, then the riot shield, right? And if they say that that's not allowed, okay, what if you literally buy a noose, but then put it in the trans flag colours?
Yeah.
Is that now a hate crime, or is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the courts have got to decide.
Well, there's so much dissonance with this, because the laws are worded in such a sort of woolly way, and it's left, you know, so much to the discretion of the criminal justice system and to the courts. It's, you know, obviously even Harry Miller's own case, he was questioned by police
and check his thinking,
and when it made it to court, the judge was appalled and said, this, you know, doesn't even come near the foothills of illegality. But you know, then it's just the actual process of being arrested and charged is in itself intimidating.
I'm just thinking in my mind, you know, if they say that the ribbon is a hate crime but the trans shield isn't, and then, you've got the example I said of, like, what if you buy a noose and just dip it in the colours of the trans rights flag, you know, is that... But even if they decide that neither of them are a hate crime, like, if she gets let off and he gets let off, does that mean that the trans noose is then legal? Because, I mean, he is actually worse than her here. I mean, he's got an actual weapon.
Yeah.
She had a bit of cloth.
Yeah.
The case against the police officer is actually far, far stronger.
Yeah.
Because you can make the point, well, if that shield's not, well, then I can carry around a noose with trans flag colours on it, can't I?
Yeah.
Like, well, no, that's not going to be allowed, no, is it? So this officer is, there is a real argument to be had there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I thought I'd mention about what these people do as well, because the Rainbow Police of Diversity and Virtue. You can see here, Labour MP Zara Sultana, lovely Islamo leftist, love her account. Full of nonsense. Good fun. So if you scroll down on this, you can see the new steps they've put in her place, which is the racial pride flag. You notice with the nice segregated black and brown stripes, the separate but equal area for brown and black queers. They can't be integrated with the rest of the queers. I remember the term queer is being used by them. So it's being brought back, as they say. I just can't get over that. I mean, how as a progressive can you look at segregated black and brown stripe and think, yeah, that's progressivism.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it is, actually. So.
Yeah, I mean, the dissonance with all of this is just incredible.
Yeah, there's more of these. They're popping up all over the country in Britain. So we get the next one. You got another one of these. So if you scroll down to this, so this is Taunton Pride. Apparently they've set up some steps, again, with the racial pride flag, in which you've segregated, again, people of a different race out. I mean, it's not like the yellow stands for Chinese and red stands for Indian or something. It doesn't make any sense. That's not what's going on. I mean, it was always meant to be inclusive of all people. That's the point of the rainbow, right? And then we go to the next one. We have Taunton Pride. So Taunton Pride, also doing the same thing. And this guy here, he says, we love our beautiful hashtag rainbow pathway and hashtag Taunton. We are so beautiful in our differences and we are stronger together as a community. Hashtag it's okay to be you.
So if we're better and stronger together as a community, why are we separated?
Why are we segregating the black and brown specifically?
Yeah.
That's the question in my mind. She's like, look, if you work in a workplace and they ever bring out this flag, I mean, number one, it's also copyrighted, so you can't use it without the original creators.
Really?
Yeah, so that's the funny thing. Like the original one, you know, just the rainbow, that's public domain. Anyone can use that. The racial pride one, that's actually apparently still copyrighted by the original guy who made it.
No way. So is he making money every time a council like paints a pavement?
It seems not. But if he was to turn around tomorrow and be like, hey, that's my copyright, nothing could stop him.
Right.
That's the amazing part. But anyway, so the thing with this especially is that, again, this is the NHS. This is an NHS guy. So we go to this guy's account, the guy who posted this one, CEO of Norfolk and Norwich University Hospitals. Gotcha. We're back to the NHS again, wasting money. So this is the guy who set this up. So he said he's very excited that Pride Walk is now open. Thank you to all the team who helped make it.
Where is pronouns? I don't know what to describe.
Very disappointing. It's also a father. What's that about?
Yeah.
But also the fact that racial pride never ends. I mean, pride never ended, but now racial pride is with us forever.
Right,
It's not just 1 month.
Yeah.
Every crosswalk in the land must be you know, got the pincer movement in it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So I just wanted to think, like, if we're not celebrating racial segregation, are we even racist? I mean, that's the position of the progressives here.
Yeah.
I keep hanging on to that, but the actual fact that they segregated off black and brown, and we're just like, yeah, this is tolerance.
Yeah.
So we get the next one. There's more of this, because there's endlessly more of this, isn't there? So we have the Army LGBT Plus Network taking a look at their inclusive culture within the Army's Head of Diversity and Inclusion. This is how they describe their Head of Diversity and Inclusion. A white in all caps, hetero, middle-aged, married man with two kids. In many ways, Briggs Christopher Coles is not the obviousest candidate to oversee diversity in the British Army. And I'm just like, yeah, that's the framing. The fact that the Head of Diversity and Inclusion is a white hetero man,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Surely the whole point of, you know, diversity and inclusion is everybody's included, so anybody could do this role. It doesn't have to be, a Somalian lesbian, you know. Like,
I love how they're also complaining that he has kids. It's like, what? Yeah. He's married and has kids. What an awful person.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing this. You know, this is the narrative just being pushed through, pushed by the sort of woke agenda that these things are bad. And I think that's why so many kids want to transition these days. They're taught that being, you know, if you're cis, if you're, you know, just straight, then that's bad, that's boring. You know, you should be interesting, you should be cool.
And again, this is the Army. I mean, if you can scroll down on this, just show people it is a verified Army account. The British Army. Fantastic. I'm glad they're doing their best to defend us instead of wasting their time on ideology. No, that's what they are doing. So there's them complaining that a white man has dared to get the role of Head of Diversity and Inclusion. We go to the next one. We also have the Royal Opera House, who's giving away £100,000 in diversity hires, even though they're getting £20 million from the state.
I mean, I would expect that from the Royal Opera House, to be honest. But yeah, it's ridiculous that the arts gets so much public money. I mean, comedy is now recognised by the Arts Council, so comedians are going to become form fillers, and they're going to have to like kowtow to whatever the woke opinions are if they want to get funding for the. I don't know. I just think public funding should get pulled out of all these things. Why should bus drivers be taxed to pay for the Royal Opera House for the follies of the wealthy?
But not even for the art. For the Head of Diversity and Inclusion.
Yeah, for the whole thing. For the whole thing. it's ridiculous.
But anyway, talking about riot shields to beat back the Posy Parkers of the world, I thought I'd also mention some of the other absurdities that come out of this. Lockheed Martin's Head of Diversity and Inclusion. I love this. I love this comment here. As the Head of Diversity and Inclusion at Lockheed Martin, I aim to bomb not only Yemen, but also Yewomen. So
that's
fantastic.
A great line.
I mean, I remember watching, I think it was there's a podcast called Come Town, and they did a piece on this where they were talking about, you know, there's like woke advertising for military companies. It's like the girls in Yemen are learning about electronics because we bomb them with electric bombs. <It's> like... Anyway, so if we go back to, remember this dimmy? So we go back here, just this dimmy here. Like if you scroll down, just see what she's saying. Just the state of the police. Like looking at her lanyard that's rainbow colored. I wear this all the time, so I'm an ally. I mean, it just comes off to me like someone who's been given a sticker or something. But anyway, so this was all about all of this stuff, all of this destroying of the impartiality of the police. It was all for a good cause. What was the cause? Encouraging people to report online hate.
Right.
What kind of online hate speech are we talking about? Let's go to the smear merchants, the Daily Record, who were very upset about a certain man, Count Dankula, for daring to make a comedy joke. How dare he? How dare he make a funny? Bad man. So, Nazi dog owner reveals he's been sacked from sacked over an offensive video and claims his new boss doesn't care. You can see the salt going through here. You go to the next one, they were very happy when he got fined £800 for daring to do a joke.
It's ridiculous. And the whole essence of the joke is that Nazism is evil. The joke confirmed it. Yeah, because it's the dichotomy, the dissonance between the cuteness, the absolute cuteness of the pug, and the absolute evil of Nazism that makes the joke work. If he was actually saying Nazism was good, the joke wouldn't work. You know.
What's even funnier is the Nazis actually tried. So in Finland, they had an alliance with the Nazis to fight the Soviets, and there was a Finnish guy who taught his dog to do a Nazi salute, and the Nazi diplomats got upset about this because they were like, "Oh, you're making his dog do it. You're making us look like dogs." And the Nazis tried to get him prosecuted, and they ended up giving up because they were like, "Oh, it's not worth our time." The SNP government in Scotland went further than the actual Nazis in real life against the Finnish man who taught his dog to do it. So there's that. They actually went through with it and fined Dankula $800. Yeah. So if we go to the next one as well, you have people being upset. The Daily Record trying to shame Tom Walker for daring to say the right thing, which is Count Dankula shouldn't have been tried with all this. Yeah. But I'm very proud to report that all those rainbow cars were worth it, lads. People have been reporting online hate. Who's online hate? The Daily Record. Let's go to the last one. The last one here. A number of historical tweets from some of our writers have come to our attention. Mm. The Daily Record takes any claim of discrimination or hate speech very seriously, and we have launched a full investigation into the matter.
Yeah.
Comes back to bite them every time.
I saw some of these tweets. And yeah, some of them were pretty shocking. I don't know, have you got any?
I didn't have the examples, I didn't know. What were they, if you remember?
I'm pretty sure there was anti-unionist and anti-Protestant tweets. I can't remember what else.
I was half expecting stuff about Israel with leftists, but you know. Mm.
Yeah, there's probably some of that as well. But anyway, there's the thing when stuff the left aren't subject to the sort of self-examination that people on the right, because we're always being told that we're evil. We do sort of stay up at night thinking, you know, is this morally right? And, you know, arguing things through in our heads and talking it through with friends. Whereas the left are just told, oh, you're completely right. So, you know, and the ends justify the means. So that's why people ended up, you know, in cultural revolutions shooting women in the street and stuff, because they felt that, you know, the ends justified the means, and, you know, because they've got this sort of righteousness, this moral certitude. Mm. That it overrides it, anything else.
And there's a great point to mention the Mal's Great Famine Book Club, if you haven't watched that already on lotuseaters.com. There's an example of, so there were kids who were being beaten to death by the cadres because, well, the ends justify the means, don't they?
Yeah.
So anyway, but these guys who thought the ends justify the means with hate speech are victims of their own force. And I just love Count Dankula's response to this. We can get this last one up. good boy. Just people listening is just ha 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 ha. You know, because to hell with them. They deserve every bit of it, and I'm sure that every one of their writers deserves the fine/jail time that they have applauded all this way.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if it applies to Count Dankula, it also applies to Daily Record journalists.
Mm. Thought we'd just end on that. A little bit of a white pill. Let's go to the video comments.
Good morning from Ontario. I'm going to drop the voice for today. And forgive the mess in the background, I'm moving out tomorrow. This is going to have to be my last video for now. I'm going to have to penny pinch for the time being. Times are tough, but I've had worse. I want to thank you for giving me a platform to shill for the only base party in Canada. And if any of you want to contact me for whatever reason, your best bet would be at RapturePaints on Instagram. I paint miniatures on occasion. Until next time, I bid you adieu.
Ah, well, all the best. It's been good to hear about the People's Party of Canada. Again, I don't know much about them. I'm not a Canadian, but I guess go and check them out. They're, you know, Maxime Bernier used to be a conservative. He left or something like that. And he set up his own party in Canada to be proper conservatives, is how he sees himself. They had some good stuff on free speech, but, you know, not a Canadian. So not for me to find out. But anyway, all the best. Let's go to the next one.
Hey guys, as a true capitalist I am, I see an excellent opportunity to make some money out of this Texas thing. So I'm going to be launching a new crowdfunding site to raise money for young girls in Texas to go to other states for safe and legal abortions. So look forward to my new app, Kickstopper.
oh boy. When did he change his name to the renewables guy as well? Like, he works in the oil industry.
Oh, right.
Like, I know he changed it, but I was just like, why did that happen?
I guess oil is renewable if you've got, you know, 100 million years.
Yeah, technically, I suppose. But yeah.
But actually, it's not... I thought he was being serious.
Well, actually
setting up a... You know, that's... Because, I mean, they're going to need it. Because, I mean, the thing with the abortion... I mean, I'm a libertarian, so I think, you know, abortion should be available to people because... How is it my right to tell people how to police and medicate their own bodies? And abortion laws don't stop abortion. They just stop safe abortion. It's like drug laws.
If it's a blanket ban.
Yeah.
So the argument I would give from the Republican side, the Texas law, is that it's legal up to this point, and then it's a baby, therefore you can't kill it. But before then, you know, go for it.
But 6 weeks, I mean, who even knows that they're pregnant by 6 weeks?
I would have thought so. I mean, I don't know much about pregnancy. I've never had a kid.
Yeah, I've never been pregnant myself, even though I could. because I could, you know, identify.
Anyway, I'm not very knowledgeable on that topic, so right. Like that. But anyway, let's go to the next one.
Guys, remember that fitness challenge of mine of if I can destroy my favorite shirt by flexing? Well, you know, I think I'll succeed. That being said, I've just caught up to all the Lotus-Eater stuff. Been away on holiday for a week visiting my dad's side of the family in Brighton, the San Francisco of the United Kingdom. I think you guys will enjoy a few of my stories, because I'm going to essentially tell the stories of my week.
Weeb.
I'm going to tell the stories of how I've been while I've been away. You guys will enjoy them. I've seen a few SJWs.
All right, good. I always like when you meet people who live in Brighton. Like, there's endlessly, like, when there used to be events in London for Brexit or, you know, marches and stuff, you'd always end up meeting one person from Brighton, and every time they'd say, you'd just be like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And they're like, yeah, I know. Because I think the best story I ever heard was actually a kind of a cute one, where I think the local council at the time or some point was run by the Green Party, or it was a coalition with the Greens. And they suggested that there wasn't enough animals within the town, the city, whatever it is. So they decided that they would get a farmer to bring a bunch of his sheep and just release them within the area. And then people would have sheep and the sheep would eat grass and everything would be fine.
And what, like, if you want a sheep, if you want lamb chops for dinner, you just go and grab a sheep.
Just run it over, I guess. Or something. But the morons didn't, you know, they didn't think for a second. So it was just loads of sheep walking around on the streets.
They actually did it.
Apparently. And then it's the story I got told from one guy. He was like, yeah. And then everyone was just like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah. And then they had to get rid of the sheep. But it was just like, what the do you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
You just let a load of sheep in the middle of an urban area.
Yeah.
The other one was that they wanted to cut down on red meat eating, because they're a bunch of vegans, aren't they? And so the Green Party decided that all council buildings wouldn't serve meat on like Mondays or something.
Right.
It's like an introductory to try and roll in less meat being used. So it meant that dustbin men wouldn't get like bacon sandwiches for breakfast.
Mm.
So they all just went on strike. It's just like, well, the hell with you? I'm not working enough. I'm not getting food. So
yeah.
Yeah. And then they had to reverse that as well, but absolutely nutcase of a place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a bellwether for the rest of the UK. I think what happens in Brighton now is going to happen in the rest of the UK in about 3 weeks.
What will the Conservative
weeks?
Party believe in within 3 weeks? Yeah. It's not Brighton. Let's go to the next one.
Evening, fellas. The subject of body counts on Friday got me thinking. You think people with high body counts are, you know, going to be stuck like that, not able to form a meaningful relationship, or do you think they could, I don't know, break the habit and learn how to settle down, maybe? I don't know. I like thinking people can change.
When he says high body counts, does he mean like
sexual partners?
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, you can. You can totally change and settle down. I was in a, after years of shagging, because, you know, being a comedian, it's quite hard to, you know, form a stable relationship.
And, you know, you're just drowning in women.
Yeah, especially when you're attracted to psychotic redheads. But I dated a lassie for about a year, and I thought we were going to get married and stuff, but we didn't.
No. But I remember John mentioning on the episode we did that he got some text on screen, which is that apparently there's some scientific evidence that for women who have lots of sexual partners, they have a much harder time forming long-term bonds,
right,
with, you know, new people. Mm. But I don't know the evidence. I'm sure John's got a link somewhere. It doesn't affect men. Right? Yeah, apparently it doesn't affect men, John's
really?
Saying, from the scientific evidence, which is it's interesting, but, I mean, biologically it kind of makes sense, surely.
Yeah. I mean, I guess men are biologically programmed to be less faithful than women. Because
the ideal mating strat.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, favors the sort of passing on of your genes. I guess the best way these days to pass on your genes would be to donate sperm at a sperm bank.
Yeah.
Then you're going to, you know, there's going to be loads of little mini ewes running around.
I hope I'm remembering this correctly, but I think a lot of Britain's sperm in the sperm banks is all Danish as well.
Oh, really?
Because
it's the second Viking invasion.
Yeah, essentially. Because in Denmark, if you donate sperm and then they have a kid or something, there's like no rights to know who the father was or
right.
for him to own anything. And therefore, it's really easy to give
right.
and really opportune.
So oh, right.
Loads of Danish men have just done it. And then all the sperm in Britain is all Danish.
Right.
So... yeah.
So what, in Britain, if you donate sperm, are there rules that you could actually be tapped up for child support and stuff like that?
I can't remember the specifics, so I don't want to get too specific, but it's worse than if you're a Danish man.
Right.
Although I suppose if you visit Denmark and just sign up, but... Yeah. Apparently, there's loads of restrictions on who can donate sperm either.
Right.
Because they need like a high fertility, you know, low chance of any abnormalities.
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently not everyone can donate either. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, once you reach a certain age, you're off the list, apparently. Yeah. So I think I'm too old now.
What, for your dream job? Anyway, let's go to the next one.
I can still practice.
Hello, William Seniors and my fellow Canadians. Don't vote for the PPC in this upcoming election. Vote for Conservatives instead. None of the normies know who the PPC are, and so they're not going to be voting for them. And if you vote for PPC, then you're diluting the Conservative vote, and the dilution of the Liberal vote between Liberals, Green, and NDP are the only reason that we ever get Conservative governments in the first place. This is my cat, Kuro.
All right, well, there's the bid for not the PPC, I guess.
Hmm.
I mean, again, I don't know anything about Canadian politics, so I've tried to sort of stay out of that if I can.
Hmm.
But love the visit sometime. Anyway, is this a video comment? Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's go for it. Are you
good? But can you just be honest and just say...
You are killing a child, aren't you?
Can you just do that? Don't be like, we're not killing it. We're sharing it, man. No, just...
And killed somebody.
All right.
You really think
a 6-week-old fetus, embryo, in fact, is not human? It's like a parasite, really.
That's kind of retarded. You think you're f-ing tough? You're about to get it.
Plan.
You're going.
Not the plan.
Wood chipper.
Nice other thing, but that lady was on GB News arguing that up till the point of birth, you should be able to abort it.
Ooh.
But this is the thing, that's the argument. Like, the left have taken it to the point, but they're like, yeah, up to the point of birth. And it's like, right, okay, then we can't have a discussion then, can we?
Yeah. I know that medically they did find that embryos show, not sentience, but show, you know, they're actually more mentally advanced and more aware than was previously thought at a younger age. But yeah, calling them parasites is a kind of cruel, it's quite a cruel way. I mean, this is the thing, I'm pro access to abortions, you know, with obviously limits, certainly not like to the point of birth. But I still think it's, you know, it's obviously a horrible thing. And
There seems to be no recognition that it's a necessary evil.
Yeah, yeah.
They seem to think that it's a morally neutral
thing. They celebrate
to do.
It. Like when
have you seen the clip? What is it? That late night show that's crap, where she has like a bucket and she's like, "Yay to abortions!"
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's
yeah. And when
I don't know anything about abortions. I'm not, you know, I'm old enough to have kids and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was just like, nah, that's fucked.
Yeah, yeah. And when they first announced that uterus transplants would be possible, so that transgender women could bear, you know, even though they're sort of biologically male, could bear children, and immediately some leftist tweeted, "Oh yay! I can't wait to have the first transgender abortion." And it's like, man, I mean, that probably did more to get Trump elected than Trump did himself. You know, people saying things like that, they're their own worst advocates.
Let's go to the next one.
Thing that the abortionists don't seem to understand is that the heartbeat laws that are put in place in some areas, it's not putting a restriction or a penalty on them. It's actually on the physician if they perform it and it's not a medical intervention to, you know, save a life, because that's a violation of the Hippocratic Oath.
I'm not quite sure I got the point, other than to make out that, you know, it's not not killing a life, because, you know, it's not healthcare, because if you're killing something, that's a violation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can sort of see that point. But then I guess it is healthcare, because it's diverting people away from illegal abortions and looking at the sort of quality of life for the child and the mother. You know, an unwanted child isn't necessarily going to have the best outcomes.
But I mean, that's the debate amongst, you know, rational people.
Yeah.
Is it 6 weeks? Is it 12 weeks? Well, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's...
Is it 5 years after? You can just go along. I'm done with this one. Like,
I mean, do you know about the extremely high? So, like, women aren't murderers, right? They're not the majority of murderers for any case, except between 0 and 1 years old.
Oh, right. So right.
they're like the majority of infanticides. Where they're, you know, they're the ones who are shaking the baby or putting the pillow over or whatever it
is.
Yeah. Because they just can't deal with it, or they're gone. You know,
and infanticide used to be much more common than it is now. I mean, we're really living through a golden era for lack of violent crime. But yeah, infanticide, the Victorian era was really common, and children weren't as cherished. And everything, children were given away, they were sold, they were dropped off at orphanages. There wasn't this, life itself wasn't cherished as much.
Sorry, I'm just saying, when you mentioned about violent crime, I just reminded you, I was at the Academic Agent Conference, an academic agent, this guy, was making a point about, here's the graph of violent crime increases over time, and then since, the 80s or whatever, it's been going down a bit in the United States. And he's like, abortion's a lot to do with that, so The Economist, but
It is. Like, I was a criminal intelligence analyst, so, we looked at a lot of, theories from American stuff, and one of them was that, the decrease in violent crime, and all crime, in fact, just perfectly dovetailed with access to abortions.
If the criminals aren't being born, they're not committing crimes.
That's
one way of looking at it, but anyway, let's go to the next one.
When Werner Herzog was working on The Mandalorian Season 1, he gave an interview where he said that he believed that they were making the new Greek mythology. I took this as him saying they were creating religion, with Luke himself being a messianic figure in the final episode of Season 2. The newest Spider-Man film is partially adapting the story where Peter makes a deal with the devil, and MCU fans are dying for this to happen on screen. If cinema is the new religion, then why do people want their new gods to be corrupted so badly? What happens to a child that's raised on the hero going to Satan to solve their problems with no morals learned?
I don't know, but
I think the our superhero movies, they are quite moral. They're not a morality free zone.
I suppose it depends on the series, doesn't it?
Because
you get the ones where it's very clear, like here's the good guy, here's the bad guy, here's the instruction, and you get the ones where just everything's grey and it's like, it's fun sometimes, but not sure I want to raise kids on just being like, everything's grey, nothing's good, nothing's bad.
Yeah, the sort of real politique of.
Marvel
Universe.
The universal perspective of everything's just an opinion, man. It's like, but our opinions are better than ISIS, so I don't care.
Although that'll probably become a problematic opinion to have.
I think we're better than ISIS. Let's go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan here with another Legend of the Pines. The Lenni Lenape Indians had a word for the mysterious creatures that live in the Pine Barrens. These were called the Wamat Nagunis, and I think I'm pronouncing that right. These were spirit creatures about a foot to waist high. They were sometimes called wood dwarves, and they were kind of like gremlins, only nicer unless you disrespected them. Never disrespect the spirit of the Pine Barrens.
He always gives us little stories from the pines and
there's
a little Joan in the corner. I just saw the Ron Paul logo in the background there, the sign. I'm assuming he was a supporter of Ron Paul. I'm not really old enough for Ron Paul, but what was the energy about Ron Paul when he ran?
Was Ron Paul the libertarian?
Yeah, do you remember? Because you're
older, is that what you're going to say? I can't really remember.
Nah. Well, I'm hoping he can, because I love the Ron Paul memes, you should have listened, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't around for it. Okay, let's go to the next one.
Okay, get this. I show up for my vaccination. They registered me last minute, literally day before they asked me to come in. I get there. I had to drive 2-3.5 hours to get here. And I show up and they kick me out saying, you've come from outside of town. You have to isolate for 14 days.
What?
I didn't actually need to isolate.
That was an interesting time for somebody to sneeze. That is.
So, hang on. He went to the vaccine place and they kick him out for needing to isolate.
So I'm assuming he was told he needed to come and get vaccinated, and he had the text message or whatever, and we've all had them. And then he turned up to get vaccinated and they said, no, you've come too far, you've come from out of town. Because I take it he's in Australia. Mm. I was in Australia for the first lockdown. I wish I'd stayed, but... they closed, and they've still got the state borders closed. So it's easier for somebody in Australia to come to Europe than it is to go to somewhere else in Australia. They were very strict on internal movement within Australia. And in fact, Western Australia, where I was in Perth, was coronavirus free. It was basically like New Zealand.
I love that it's literally impossible to comply with the law, though. Because I remember we did a segment on Australia, just the insanity that's come out of it. And there was one story that stuck with me, which is the guy with a he'd committed a crime, so he had an ankle bracelet, and so he had to stay in his house. Yeah. He was on a house arrest. And the police came to him and said, we need to take you somewhere else because of quarantine or COVID or something. And he was like, look, if I leave, I'll be arrested.
Yeah.
And they were like, we don't care. Quarantine rule says you have to go. And he was like, look. Yeah.
And if you stay, you're going to get arrested.
Yeah.
So it's like the traffic rules with the 20 mile an hour limits. It's like you drive at 20 miles an hour, you get picked up for curb crawling. It's impossible to win.
Like the price fixing thing as well. It's like if you sell your products for too little, you're trying to undercut your opponent. If you sell it for too much, you're exploiting the customer. Yeah, and if you sell it for the same amount as your opponent, you're price fixing.
Yeah.
Like, great. All right. But anyway, is there one more or is that the end there?
Have you had your vaccinations?
I've never got a text or anything about it.
So oh, right.
Just left it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to end up getting it because I want to go to abroad and the place I want to go is going to be very strict on that when they open up.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's one of the things you've got to do. But otherwise, I'm not really worried at all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty young.
Yeah.
I've seen the graphs for death rates.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had coronavirus.
It doesn't stop you getting the bloody thing, so.
Yeah. Well, in I was at the Edinburgh Fringe, and coronavirus just went through everybody. And even comedians who'd been double jabbed were getting incredibly, you know, some of them were getting properly sick. I mean, I was sick as well. It was like a bad flu. It wasn't pleasant at all. But now that I've had a positive PCR test, that works for 180 days as a travel passport. So
positive.
I won't need to because it shows that I've had it.
Oh,
so right. So I'll have the natural antibodies, which apparently are more protective than the vaccine.
I thought you meant like, oh, I tested positive for coronavirus, I can go abroad now. Like,
yeah,
but literally yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not like the same day. You've got to wait until you're not infectious anymore. But I won't be infectious in 3 days. No, I'm joking. I'm not infectious now.
So that's essentially one way of doing it, which is getting a positive test.
Yeah.
And therefore, you don't need to get a vaccine because you've been tested positive and you're outside.
Yeah. So for 180 days, I don't need to get a vaccine. And then hopefully by 180 days, you know, I'll be reassured that the vaccine doesn't make your dick fall off or anything like that. You know,
I'm reminded there's a great video on YouTube of, you see, over years, the police have been using, especially in America, these tests for drugs.
Mm.
And you test people's, like, you know, floors of their cars and you can pick up cocaine samples or whatever.
Yeah.
Turns out they're all bunk. Like, the ones testing for heroin and cocaine especially,
right.
They would be activated by, like, sugar.
Oh, man, yeah. So, we had a vapor tracer. We had one at the office. And, you know, if you swabbed any money, it would come back positive for, like, heroin and cocaine.
Hmm.
So, I mean, they're so ridiculously sensitive. And apparently the PCR test is, you know, a similar level of sensitivity.
That's the thing. The sensitivity is obviously good and why you want it to work. But the American ones, they just didn't work. Like, they would pick up stuff that wasn't cocaine.
Right.
Like 100% pure sugar.
Right.
No cocaine. Right. If you dipped it in, it would say, yeah, positive for cocaine.
Right.
So thinking with the PCR test, I wonder what you can get a positive result from.
Well, the lateral flow test, because I was doing lateral flow tests when I thought I was ill, because I did loads of them and they all came back negative. So I thought I didn't have coronavirus. But apparently lateral flow tests work better if you don't have symptoms. I don't know how that works. But they can be triggered by grapefruit juice, kiwi fruit juice. So kids in schools are triggering their lateral flow test to get out of school.
I know, but then you've got the ability to travel abroad.
Yeah.
So, you know, stop up on.
Yeah. No, just fruit with juice. The PCR. The PCR gives you the ability to travel abroad.
John is sending PCR depends on how many cycles. With enough cycles, amplifications, you can get a positive for everything.
Right.
I don't really know what any of that means.
No, me neither.
I'll be frank. But anyway, let's move on to the comments because we're running out of time. So, Woke Tax. Omar Awad says, nice to have all these diverse positions specifically made for diverse peoples to hold while they attack the indigenous population with taxes from those indigenous peoples. I'm tired of hearing about how to handle racism from racists who want you to think they are the baseline from which you can never be less racist.
Mm.
So you've got to be as racist as us. There's nothing below us.
Like, yeah. And also, but the critical race theory says that everybody's racist. So even these critical race theorists are racist. So, and if racism's a crime, don't we have to lock everybody up? And who's going to do the locking up? Because they're going to be racist too. It's almost as if the whole thing is bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I love how it's the turtles all the way down argument.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard about that.
No.
The atheist and the theist are arguing about God. And some woman comes across, so this is all nonsense. The world is on the back of a turtle.
Mm.
So, right, what's below the turtle? Another turtle. The turtle's all the way down. You know, it's a reductive argument of just like, you know, there is no solution to this.
Yeah.
But the point he makes about the diverse positions being held by diverse people.
Yeah.
I love how we mentioned before, there are diverse citizens now. Mm. You know, their characteristics.
Yeah.
Even if it's 100% women, that's a diverse room.
But
The interesting thing was from the images, from what I found, there's a lot of non-diverse heads of diversity and inclusion who are clearly there for the money.
Yeah.
And if not, they believe in the ideology, but some of them I'm kind of doubting. Mm. They just realize there's a lot of money being made from this.
Mm.
But I did see a couple of people when I was searching on Twitter as well. There was one head of diversity and inclusion at some school, and he was just arguing with communists, saying they're all talking S. And so, you know, he's there for the money kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there were loads of people in the comments just being like, wait, the head of diversity and inclusion who's not brown, disgusting. And it's like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's racist.
Again. Rice Sim says, the UK needs a written constitution. One of the things needed on that constitution is all public sector organisations, NHS, police, fire service, etc., cannot promote a political bias that promotes certain political parties, organisations and philosophies. We did already have this in the, I can't remember, what is it, the police guidance or whatever it is, that, you know, the P-Light setting up of the police force, was that the police are to be impartial and it's very strict writing. But what if the police force just turns around and ignores that piece of their own constitution?
Yeah, and as we're seeing in Scotland, I mean, they've centralised the police force to bring it more under government control. So Police Scotland is now you know, controlled in the centre, very close to the seat of government. Yeah.
I mean, the job, fundamentally, who's going to police the police on that basis, is Parliament.
Mm.
And they failed. The Conservative Party have failed in their duty in this respect, utterly. I mean, to an unbelievable extent where this has been accepted for decades now.
Yeah.
That they've been in power for that, you know, decade and a half or whatever it is, 15 years something. And they've done nothing. Yeah. Everything rests on their shoulders for this failure.
Yeah, I really think a constitution would be a good idea for the UK at the moment. Something that protects our freedoms.
Because Parliament and our can't liberties. Be relied upon.
Absolutely. I mean, if it's something that can be argued through, we can see how tastes and opinions change. And, you know, I wouldn't want, you know, if some woke government takes power, they could easily, you know, they could easily kick off, you know, some kind of cultural revolution that's incredibly damaging to people and damaging to society and abuse their rights and their freedoms if there wasn't a constitution stopping them.
Because the argument of the British tradition being that Parliament's sovereign and therefore if they mess everything up, they'll be voted out and the other government will fix everything. But what if they just don't? In the case of the Conservative Party.
Yeah.
And in which case, well, we need, you know, it's not perfect. Obviously, a constitution can be ignored. Internment camps in America for Japanese, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's another barrier. It's another barrier we should have to defend civil liberties. Anyway, so Freewill2112 says, these Extinction Rebellion loons who think that Cuba is a great country to model ourselves on are as mad as the ideological morons who worship Mao. They will be just as murderous if they ever get real power.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. And, like, yeah, to use Cuba as some sort of model for utopia is ridiculous. I mean, whoever thinks that needs to go to Cuba and speak to Cubans, especially the ones who are, you know, getting on rafts and trying to make it to Florida. It's ridiculous.
Flights to Cuba from the UK, I think, are allowed as well, if right. not direct, indirect. So,
and if not, there's Zoom.
Yeah, we could always fund some people to go out there.
Yeah.
There is a... I'm trying to remember who it is. I think it's Akilah Hughes, actually, who made a Twitter post about how she had gone to Cuba. Mm. She's an American leftist. Not going to say too much about her because of things. And she was like glorifying Cuba as this anti-racist state that's like showing off that there's another way. And I'm just like, you literally went there and brought into the like communist propaganda.
Yeah.
You brain dead idiot. Anyway, so Hillary Mantel. On your section, Freewill says she wants to escape Boris Johnson's tax rises, but needs a woke excuse to cover her real intent.
Absolutely. Nailed it.
Mm. Edward Woodstock says Wolf Hall is about Thomas Cromwell rather than Oliver Cromwell.
Yep.
To be fair, he's supplanted Cardinal Wolsey as the king's chief minister and helped bring the Reformation, which separated us from papacy. However, that makes this rather odd considering how he separated us from one Europe-spanning organization, which we had no say in, whereas she advocates another. Yeah, fair point. On the trans police, Duffy says, I stand by my wish to replace the UK police with the Gurkhas. I'm in agreement.
I just love the police to focus on stopping crime instead of putting rainbow flags on everything.
I love the exacerbation in your voice, though. You're like, come on.
Well, yeah, my car was broken into just before I went to the Edinburgh Fringe. So in July, my car was broken into. $2,000 worth of camera equipment was nicked. I totally need to do my job. And I phoned the police. And they did nothing. They just gave me a crime reference report. You know, I didn't want that. I wanted them to come, take fingerprints, catch these guys, you know, burn them in a cage. What's the solution?
You need to paint your car with rainbow colours. Because then when they smash it, it's a hate crime.
Well, yeah. Yeah, or if they misgendered me when they stole my gear.
Yeah, but it's like with the rainbow police cars they have. You think, if you remember in Bristol, the leftists set fire to a police van?
Right.
In the riots they did. If it was a rainbow police van and they set fire to it...
That's a hate crime.
That's a hate crime.
No way.
So if you want your valuables to be safe, please go out with some rainbow paint and repaint your house and car.
Right,
it's the only way the police are going to care.
No way. So that is mad, because hate crime is the only thing that's... any focus at the moment.
Yeah. Also, hate crimes are on the up and up. Why? Because people want their crime solved. Yeah. So they're just claiming everything as a hate crime.
Yeah, yeah. And also, if you're, you know, a hate crime, anything that can be perceived to be a hate crime is a hate crime. So,
yeah.
With the, you know, everybody's on Twitter, so everything can be a hate crime. It's just generating crime. This sort of safetyism as well, people saying that they feel unsafe. I felt... you know, unsafe when my car was broken into. Like, probably more unsafe than if somebody had misgendered me. I can deal with that fine.
Justin says, those racial pride flags only have 6 colours in the rainbows. Do we want to know what they did with the 7th colour? What is the 7th colour? I didn't know there was one missing. Is that right? The
red,
original have
yellow,
7?
Green, blue.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look at both of the flags afterwards, but... We'll end on
purple.
Omar's comment. Don't worry, everyone. The gender fascists might be stomping on your face with a government boot, but at least they changed the paint, so they can do it inclusively with your taxes. Certainly can. Anyway, on that note, it's time to end the show. So if you want more from us, go to loadsdiesel.com. Subscribe to get access to all the premium content I mentioned, and also that helps keep the show running. But otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.